As we embark on a new era with franchise cornerstone Buster Posey as the new president of baseball operations, it kind of got me thinking about the last man to hold that title, former president of baseball operations Farhan Zaidi. And in an otherwise underwhelming tenure he had as the president of baseball operations, but was it all that bad? Well, that's what I want to talk about today, the good and the bad of the Zaidi era in San Francisco. I'm your host, Darius Lott, and this is Second and King.
Welcome to Second and King.
From high, it's a deep, it is out of here!
Your one-stop shop for everything San Francisco Giants.
And there's a shot, deep right field, by Crawford. Adios, pelota!
And now, here's your host, Darius Lott.
Yeah!
What's going on, guys? Welcome back for another edition of Second and King. Thank you again to those of you who have been following the show. Greatly appreciate it. All of you that listen on YouTube, make sure you like and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. For those of you on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a rating or a review. Really greatly appreciate your support and your feedback. And it just helps the podcast grow bigger and bigger as we continue on here. So today, I've been thinking about this topic for a while. This was actually supposed to be like an earlier episode of the pod, but things kept happening with the Giants, spring training and things like that as we get ready for the 2025 season. So it kind of got pushed back, but I feel like now, right before the season's about to start, it's about as good a time as any to get this this off and get it out to you guys. But yeah, so we're going to talk about Farhan Zaidi and his overall tenure with the Giants. I know there's a lot of talk about his time, you know, running things here, the day-to-day operations of the Giants. First thing I'm going to say right here, right now, I do not believe that Farhan Zaidi was a undercover agent sent by the Dodgers to just destroy the Giants, because he was hired in, what, 2018, 2019, Farhan was hired, and the Giants are coming off one of their worst seasons ever in San Francisco history. So he didn't have much to do if he was going to, quote unquote, destroy the Giants. You know, we were kind of already there. Plus, I don't think he would take, you know, the Giants president of baseball operations job only to, you know, fail and then come back to the Dodgers as an advisor. Like, that's, it just seems like a big step down if you talk to me. But you'd be surprised how many people actually believe that the guy came in as a double agent and brought the Giants down significantly worse from what they were. I don't think so. I don't even know if that's possible, because there was a point where the Giants, you know, overall as a team, at both the big league and in the farm system, were as bad as you can get. Like, they don't seem that much better now, but believe me when I tell you, it can get worse. It can get so much worse. But yeah, let's talk more about Farhan and, you know, his tenure with the Giants. He was hired back November 6, 2018. This was after the Giants finished with a disappointing 73-89 record. He was replacing Bobby Evans, who was the GM from 2015 to 2018. The Giants did compile a 141-183 record in that span. Glorious. Love that for us. including a 98 loss season in 2017, which was good for second worst in all of baseball that year. I don't even remember who was the worst team in baseball that year, but we were right there with them. So Farhan, he comes with an extensive background, working under Billy Bean when he's with the A's as Bean's assistant GM, and under Andrew Friedman with the Dodgers as his general manager. Andrew Friedman, of course, the president of baseball operations in LA. Zaidi has a bachelor's of science from MIT and a PhD in economics from UC Berkeley. So dude is Jeopardy smart. Like he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's very intelligent. His first gig in baseball was when he was hired to the A's Sabermetrics team as an assistant in 2011. And he was actually given praise by Billy Bean and was credited for the acquisition of Yoenis Cespedes to the A's. So that's pretty big. You know, Cespedes was a fan favorite for the A's for a time before he was shipped out to the Mets. Actually, no, he was shipped off to, God, he was on so many teams after he left the A's. But yeah, he was one of those bright spots in those 2010s Oakland A's teams. In 2013, Zaidi was promoted to be Billy Bean's assistant general manager. And then 2014 rolled around, he was hired away by the Dodgers to be the GM under Andrew Friedman, where he would remain until 2018, when he eventually got hired on as the Giants president of baseball operations. And I don't know how overall everyone else felt at the time, but I was so excited to hear that the Giants hired him away from the Dodgers when they first announced it, because it was just, it seemed like the right move at the right time. And was an absolute necessary move going forward with somebody who had a more new age approach to the game of baseball. The Giants had significantly fallen behind the rest of the pack. Like, I think of the 2016 division series against the Cubs. You know, that was the young up and coming Cubs team, you know, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, you know, and then they had some veterans here and there. They just had a strong core, and the way they built their team was masterful. And when up against that team, it felt like two different ideologies going against each other. You know, you had the Bobby Evans / Brian Sabian Giants against the new age Theo Epstein led Cubs. So It was two different worlds of baseball at that time going at each other. And as we all know, the Giants just couldn't keep up with the rising Cubs team that went on to win the World Series that year. And I always think about that as the point where I really thought it was time for the Giants to really change how they do business. They hired him November 2018. Andrew Baggerly, at the time, said at Farhan's hiring in The Athletic that this will be the biggest franchise-altering announcements since that buzzing day at the winter meetings in 1992 when the Giants signed a free agent outfielder named Barry Bonds to a record-setting contract. Yeah. obviously, that wasn't exactly the case. But he also goes on to say there isn't a number two baseball official in the game who enjoyed more creative latitude, made such a measurable impact on the modern art of roster building and talent acquisition, and demonstrated as much ability not only to keep pace with the latest trends, but to invent them. So he was seen as somebody both with the A's and the Dodgers very much involved in talent acquisition, building a roster, and just setting these new ways that we think about the game of baseball. Like, he was very much looked at as somebody who was going to be a president of baseball operations at some point. He was going to be in the same seat that Billy Bean and Andrew Friedman both find themselves in. So yeah, I was hyped, you know. I was excited about the potential future of the Giants under Farhan, and truly believe that he could not only build the Giants back to a prominent contender, but improve the team's farm system using the same methods that made the Dodgers a juggernaut. And as well as we know, because we are from the future, that didn't quite pan out the way we had hoped. overall, when you look at the Farhan tenure, the Giants compiled a 453-417 record, which is good, but a lot of that comes from the 2021 season where they won a franchise record 107 games en route to winning the National League West. Other than that, it's been pretty much just bad, just awful. Four of the six seasons, the Giants finished below 500, you know, just with no playoffs. And he had three different managers in his tenure. I guess you could say more accurately two, because he came in when Bruce Bochy was kind of at the end of his Giants tenure. Then he hired Gabe Kapler on as his first real manager, which is commonplace when you take over as a president of baseball operations. You get to choose your manager, and he did so, choosing Gabe Kapler. And then after, aside from that, you know, 2021 season, he relieved Kapler of his duties, and now he went with current manager Bob Melvin. Yeah, I mean, what really spelled the end of his time last year with the last 2 years, last year, especially 2024, after, you know, the disappointment of 2022 and 2023, whether it be the failed attempts at getting big free agents to come to the team or not supplementing the team enough to get them back to the playoffs. It was going to be an uphill battle for him. And yeah, last year was, it spelled the end when they finished 80-82. Another disappointing year, another year of missing the postseason. And September, he was let go by the Giants finally. So what exactly went wrong in Farhan Zaidi's tenure? I mean, there's a lot to be said about what went wrong with his time there. I'm going to go through some of the reasons why I think things didn't work out under Farhan. One thing that I didn't think helped at all was the constant shuffling of the roster. There was so much roster turnover under Farhan Zaidi. He was constantly bringing guys in, whether it be through trades, signings, waiver claims. And there are times where he would acquire very good talent. I don't want to take that away from him, because regardless of how you feel about certain players, he did bring in some quality talent. Lamont Wade Jr. was a breath of fresh air. He had that amazing 2021. Unfortunately, he's been kind of up and down, in and out of the lineup with injury. He's part of a platoon this year with Wilmer Flores, so hopefully they can keep him healthy and he can get back to what he once was. Mike Yastrzemski has become, he's pretty divisive among the fan base, but overall I think he's loved by Giants fans for the most part. I understand the argument for clearing the way, moving him, so guys like Luis Matos and Grant McCray and others can get more reps out there in right field. But overall, I have no problem with Yaz. And Tyro Estrada, unfortunately, his Giants tenure came to an end last season. Dealt with a lot of injuries and poor performance, to the point where the Giants DFA'd him, I believe, and he was reassigned to the minor leagues. And he actually just got hurt not too long ago. He was playing a spring training game, and I believe he got hit with a pitch, and he's going to miss significant time. So, you know, prayers up for Tyro Estrada, one of the few good Giants that Farhan Zaidi acquired in his time here. But for every Wade, Yaz, Estrada, etc., there are more instances of guys either not panning out or just as soon as they got acquired, they're let go right after. And my main issue with all the roster turnover is that it didn't allow the Giants to build and develop a strong clubhouse culture and team chemistry. And if you guys remember, I talked about this a few times in earlier episodes that Buster alluded to that in his, you know, his talks with the media and with guys being moved in and out almost on the daily, almost regularly. It didn't seem like they were all truly united. A few examples, the acquisitions of Blake Snell, Carlos Rodon, to just name a few, were guys who signed on short-term deals with opt-outs built in so they can leave and re-enter the free agent market. They felt more like guys who were coming in to help the Giants win for a sustainable amount of time, and they just felt like mercenaries, you know, mercenaries for hire. You know, they weren't here for the long haul. They weren't here for the building of something really special in San Francisco. They came here because they knew the Giants were desperate for any kind of free agent recognition, and they know they could sign in short, perform, and hit the market again and get paid. And in the case of Snell and Rodon, that's exactly what happened. So it didn't feel like they were truly committed to the Giants, and you know, they were gone after 1 year. And, you know, those signings sting, especially when you lose draft pick compensation for them, you know. That's why it looked bad to not even, like, even if those guys didn't look like they were going to stay and didn't look like the Giants were going to the playoffs, I would rather Farhan had just flipped those guys at the deadline those seasons rather than not, you know, get anything from them and lose out on draft picks and further, you know, weaken your chance to strengthen the farm system. So yeah, not a good look there. And it turns the fans off because they become interested or rather invested in players, but then, you know, just to lose them to other teams, it's heartbreaking. So you can't really get too attached to the guys like that when you just bring them in with the thought of, you know, them opting out. That was the fear for a moment with Matt Chapman. He too had signed one of those deals, and he wanted to stay. You know, he wanted to stay, and there was this whole hold up about his contract and whatnot. And yeah, just really disappointing and deflating. Luckily, they did get that deal done. Yeah, but as much as fans like myself love to see a winning team, they love seeing players that they can, you know, come to see, that they've come a part of the fabric of the San Francisco Giants that they can be invested in. That's when you could sell, like, bobbleheads, jerseys, t-shirts, all that other stuff, you know. And out of the current crop of guys that kind of fit in that category, there are not that many. You know, Logan Webb, of course, is the obvious one. You can make a case for Mike Yastrzemski, Patrick Bailey, Camilo Doval, I think also could be there. But outside of that, there's not a whole lot that you can really talk about. But I feel like we didn't get enough of the homegrown stars and faces that we as fans could get super excited about seeing. And it's not like he didn't try. He made big swings in free agency at guys like Bryce Harper, at guys like Aaron Judge, at guys like Shohei Ohtani. But as we all know, because we are from the future, it was met with overall disappointment. And I don't even want to harp too much about the whole missing out on key free agents things. You know, that's kind of a thing that happens, you know, especially with the Giants and especially when the Dodgers are in your division. Even with, say, Farhan wasn't even the president of baseball operations, I still think it was going to be tough to convince teams to come. I mean, sorry, convince players to come play for the Giants. So I don't blame him so much for trying to close, failing to close on some guys. I mean, he technically did close on Carlos Correa, but unfortunately his physical Just didn't it didn't look good for the Giants, and they weren't really willing to commit to that price tag for that amount of time with, you know, glaring issues with Correa's physical. Yeah, but another aspect of Farhan's tenure that I didn't think worked out, and one that I was the most excited about upon his hiring, was player development. Not to say it was a complete failure, but given this quote that I read from Andrew Baggerly, it did not live up to, you know, what we thought it would be. It was a mixed bag for the most part. I just realized I don't even have the quote in front of me, but whatever. We move forward. yeah, it was a mixed bag. There, like I said, great finds of guys like Bailey, Harrison, Birdsong, Roop, Fitzgerald, to name a few. There are intriguing prospects that could play a pivotal role pretty soon in Bryce Eldridge, Carson Wisenhunt, Grant McCray, and of course, you know, they dabbled in the international signings with Marco Luciano and Luis Matos. But in terms of those top prospects that we have to, we just have to see more of them, and they haven't gotten a lot of experience to see their full potential in the case of Matos and Luciano at the big league level yet, you know. But, you know, there's still hope for guys like that. But for every intriguing prospect, there's Wade Meckler, Will Bednar, like, they've swung and missed at a few guys, and a few guys just haven't panned out. Hunter Bishop, he's another one. And the Giants farm system ranking hardly ever changed under Farhan. So the expectation that the farm would flourish under Zaidi didn't come to fruition the way that I and others really thought. So yeah, that was quite disappointing. I thought we would get like a bunch of top prospects, we would build, and we would see where we go. But the main thing to me that really hurt Farhan, above all the things that I've talked about so far, he was too risk averse. He was very safe in his approach, and I'd argue he was too safe. Like, I think of the first thing I think of Farhan's tenure that was like the first red flag for me was not bringing back Kevin Gausman on a long-term deal. He was brought in the 2020 was his first year with us. And after his really good 2021, he was looking for a payday, entering his age 31 season. He made a league-leading 33 starts, pitched to the tune of a 2.81 ERA, a 3.00 FIP, 1.47 ERA plus, 227 strikeouts to just 52 walks, and finished in sixth in Cy Young voting and earned an All-Star nod. And while he didn't have the strongest second half of 2021, he was overall the best starting pitcher by far for the Giants, posting a 5.4 WAR. So it made all the sense in the world to bring him back, especially since he wanted to come back, but Farhan and just in the regime just didn't offer him a contract. And, you know, he said that on Twitter. You know, he said on Twitter, like, yeah, I would love to come back, but the Giants haven't even talked to me. And I was just flabbergasted by that. And of course, he goes on to sign a 5-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, and wasn't even all that expensive. So yeah, that was disappointing. That was my first gripe I had with Farhan, is just letting Kevin Gausman walk for nothing. I talked about this a little bit before, but this also kind of plays into him playing it too safe, is when he didn't flip guys like Blake Snell and Carlos Rodon at the trade deadline. The Giants weren't in the best position in either of those seasons in 2022 and last year in 2024. And rather than seeing what you can get for those guys, he stayed pat, lost them for nothing, and forfeited draft picks, essentially. So the Giants lost on all fronts from him being just way too cautious. And it just paints an even, you know, bleaker picture for him and his time in San Francisco. Now, he was already in trouble prior to that, and then it just made it even worse. You know, I think I look at that last deadline, it was the best chance to sell off significant pieces. You know, they started with Jorge Soler, and I thought, okay, they're going to keep, you know, selling him off, but he pulled the trigger ever so slightly without actually, like, pulling it. So I don't think he was aggressive enough in certain situations that required him to be more aggressive. There was said to be discontent in the way he handled the roster amongst even players. It was said that he could come across cold in certain instances, when it came to guys like Brandon Crawford. As we know, Crawford, he just in the offseason announced his retirement from baseball. Crawford played 13 years in a Giants uniform, and after a very disappointing 2023, I believe, this coming off that in sensational 2021 he had, where he was an MVP candidate, he wasn't even offered a contract, which, I mean, we all saw how Crawford was by that point in his career. He was not great. And giving him it wasn't going to be a hefty contract, but to give him a contract and, you know, and at the expense of guys coming up wasn't ideal. But I think what made that whole scenario just so much more contested, and just there was animosity there, was instead of being like offered like a contract, Farhan came back to him with, and this is Crawford's words, by the way, this is a quote from Brandon Crawford: earn the last spot on the roster like anyone else could as a non-roster invitee. So, like, he wasn't offered, like, a big league contract. He was given, like, a roster invite to spring training to see if he can earn a roster spot. And as you can imagine, he felt insulted by that, because he had put in so much as a Giant, you know, in his career. You know, that's outside of that one weird year, his final year with the Cardinals, he is, for all intents and purposes, a San Francisco Giant. And, you know, to be said like you can earn a spot on the team, yeah, you're gonna feel some type of way. I can't, you know, sit here and say he isn't justified for feeling that way, you know, because if we were in his shoes, I know I would feel this way. I would feel some type of way about, you know, you have to earn your keep around here, you know, but that's never here nor there. He then goes on to say, does Crawford, that the bottom line is that I was not wanted back by the one person whose opinion matters, he told Andrew Baggerly. So yeah, didn't show a lot of respect for a franchise icon like Brandon Crawford and what he meant to the organization and what he meant to the city. Yeah, that was that was not good. Like, he, Farhan had instances where he did not help his case. And one thing he definitely, at least this is just on the surface, he didn't seem comfortable being reminded of the Giants' previous era, their previous tenure, you know, the Giants of the 2010s. So there were a lot of commemorations in the Giants clubhouse, you know, highlighting, paying homage to those 2010 Giants, the Giants that won the 3 championships in 5 years. And yeah, apparently, I don't know if that was his call or what, but all that stuff was taken down in Farhan's tenure. And that didn't seem to sit well with people in the clubhouse. It definitely didn't sit well with long-standing Giants, guys like Will Clark. Like, Will Clark, he had, like, a media tour just tearing Farhan to shreds for the way he did things. There was accusations that Farhan, he did the lineup cards for each game, which I don't think that's true. Even Farhan, in an interview He would go on to dispel that that wasn't the case, but you know, who knows? You know, Will Clark has something to say, he gonna say it. That's the thrill, man. That's what he does. Buster Posey, before he was even named president of baseball operations, personally dealt with Matt Chapman's contract negotiations over Zaidi's head and predicated this transition of power. So we kind of already knew that Farhan was getting the boot pretty soon, but we didn't really realize it at the time that Buster kind of already was like,
fine, I'll do it myself.
So when I look back, the feeling I get with Farhan is that while he was very brilliant and has the capability to be a very good executive in the baseball front office space, he just lacked a few things that are very crucial. One of the things is he just seemed to lack awareness about how you conduct yourselves, how you speak to players. I know there's like you don't want to just acquiesce to everything the players want, but he just didn't seem like the biggest people person. He didn't seem like he had any interest in interacting with the players on the team or any of the prospects or anything like that. I forget where the quote came from, but someone said the Giants kind of, the front office kind of felt like they had a work from home feel. Like, the Giants are used to seeing, you know, executives and stuff pretty often, pretty regularly. And when you hear something like that, it just doesn't feel like everybody is on the same page, or like they don't want any kind of actual engagement with the team. So not a good look at all from Farhan Zaidi. And I will say this again, I think he is brilliant to some extent, but he, like I said, lacks awareness, lacks the killer instinct, just doesn't seem to want to go for it when there's an opportunity to do so. So, yeah, I think that's just about all I had to say about Farhan Zaidi. As you all know, he's now back with the Dodgers as an advisor. So I guess good for him, but it'll be a minute before he gets another shot at being an executive in baseball. So was it overall bad? I mean, the easy answer is yes and no, because while he didn't do an absolute terrible job, he didn't do a very good job either, like outside of one season. I mean, I can't really point to anything other than it was overall a failure. This tenure, the farm did not improve. The Giants only had one winning season under him, and they were mostly mid and mediocre the entire time. And it feels like we're only a step ahead of what we were when he was first hired. Like, I still contend that Bobby Evans era was still worse, but this here, you know, it's only slightly better. And you know, that's not saying a lot. It's not a high bar to clear, you feel me? So yeah, overall, very lackluster tenure as the president of baseball operations by Farhan Zaidi. Yeah, that's all I got in terms of that. Let me know what you guys think about Farhan's tenure overall. I would love to hear it. There's just so many things to dissect and talk about when it comes there. And I think with the fan base now, they're getting a lot off their chest about Farhan Zaidi and the way they felt when he arrived here in San Francisco. But that's all the time we have for today. Thank you again for joining me on this edition of Second and King. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave a rating or review. Really helps out the channel. Thank you all once again for joining me. I am your host, Darius Lott. And as always, go Giants.